cases of the Delta COVID-19 variant have now been detected in 9 regions in the Philippines. The government vows to implement a stricter lockdown in Metro Manila to counter the latest coronavirus surge. Daily COVID-19 infections in Thailand hit a new record. And some Philippine lawmakers seeking a probe into the Octa Research Group. Quezon City Representative Jesus Pong Suntay will join us to discuss their resolution. And we'll also have Professor Ranjit Rai of the Octa Research Group for their reaction. I'm Antonina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad to have you with us today. Let's begin with this story. The more contagious Delta COVID-19 variant has now spread to 9 regions in the Philippines. 4 of these regions are classified as high risk, namely the National Capital Region, as well as Regions 1, 7, and 10. Many of the areas experiencing high to critical healthcare and ICU utilization rates have confirmed Delta variant cases. So far, the country has recorded 216 infections of the strain.
We are still collecting strong evidence to see that there's community transmission. Kaya lamang po, we can't wait for that. We're working on the assumption that, you know, there are the cases that we're seeing with or without whole genome sequencing may already be Delta variant cases. And our indicators are already showing that cases are rising.
The Philippines logged 6,879 more coronavirus cases on Tuesday. This is the first time in 5 days the cases were fewer than 8,000. But the health department attributed this to the lower number of samples that were tested. 48 more people died, while more than 6,000 have recovered from the disease. A stern warning to Metro Manila residents as the region prepares to go into lockdown. Interior Secretary Eduardo Año says the upcoming ECQ will be far stricter compared to previous lockdowns. He adds border monitoring will be ramped up. The shift to ECQ begins this Friday and will last until the 20th of August.
We'll be very strict on the mobility of people kasi yung kanyang reproduction number niya is mataas, no? Hanggang 5 to 8 kaya niyang hawahan. Kung yung dating mga variants ay na-manage natin ng maayos through our quarantine community protocols and public health standards, ito kailangan talaga samahan ng lockdown kasi hindi naman yung Delta variant talaga ang lumalabas, eh, tao, no? So we have to cut really the transmission by limiting the movement of our people, especially here in the National Capital Region. Kaya sinasabi natin na mas maigpit tayo.
Meanwhile, Metro Manila mayors vowed to maximize the 2-week lockdown by inoculating more people, improving the region's COVID-19 response, and distributing cash aid to families.
All of this will be done in 2 weeks. And of course, you have to take care of your hospitals. What is important here is really to have the surge go down. Why? Because if it goes up, we have no other choice but to get our medical personnel from those vaccinating our inoculators and assign them to the hospital. So there might be a vacuum. That is why we've already anticipated this and we've informed the Secretary Duque, and there's a program of Dr. Vega to get a pool, an emergency pool of inoculators.
The distribution of financial aid to Metro Manila residents who will be affected by the lockdown may begin this Friday. Interior Secretary Eduardo Año says the government will hand out some 11.2 billion pesos. The final list of beneficiaries will depend on the aid may be dispersed house to house through distribution points or through remittance centers. Malacanang has said some 10.7 million residents will receive 1,000 pesos each, or up to 4,000 pesos per family.
Yung mga indigent families na member ng 4P, sigurado yan. Tapos yung mga naapektuhan nitong ECQ, yung mga tinatawag natin na no work, no pay, no? Okay. Yung pati rin yung mga individual na, kasi dati hindi nakasama yan, yung mga individual na senior na nakatira sa kanilang bahay na walang income, kasama din yan.
The current public transport operations will be kept during the two-week lockdown in Metro Manila, but only authorized persons will be accommodated. Buses and jeeps are allowed to operate at 50% capacity. Motorcycle, taxi services, as well as tricycles can also operate. All systems make that all train systems will also be operational. The transport marshals will be deployed to enforce health protocols. As for passengers, they must present IDs or other documents as proof they are authorized to travel. They must also adhere to health protocols. Quezon City putting a cap on the purchase of goods during the enhanced community quarantine. Mayor Joy Belmonte says the purchase limit will help avoid panic buying and hoarding that may lead to supply problems. The local government assures residents there is enough food supply in the city. The purchase cap takes effect midnight of August 6. Meanwhile, all villages in the city are required to issue new quarantine passes to one person per household who will be allowed to go out for work or to buy essential goods. Vice President Lenny Robredo reminds government the upcoming ECQ in Metro Manila should only serve as a stopgap measure. Robredo maintains a two-week hard lockdown will not be the last if the pandemic response remains on status quo. The Vice President says she's willing to extend more help to improve government's handling of the pandemic.
Yung contact tracing, labo-labo pa rin. Ang daming app. Ibig sabihin, ang daming database. Pag-isahin na natin yan. Kailangan din maging hospital ready tayo kasi lalo na kapag may surge, ang daming namamatay nang hindi na-admit sa hospital. Pinakamahalaga yung bakuna. Dapat paabutin ng 750,000 a day ang nababakunahan para mapabilis yung pag-abot natin sa herd immunity.
A former health secretary also calling on government to ramp up contact tracing and testing. Dr. Pauline Obian says it's been over a year into this pandemic and government has consistently missed its contact tracing and testing targets.
Then we should expand to 1:30 at the least. Now, we had Senator Gordon who turned positive the other week. We tested around 60 plus of his contacts. Because that's really how to go about it. You have to be very careful and serious about who to test because of contact tracing. And we're not there.
COVID-19 vaccination doses administered in the Philippines now at nearly 22 million. Close to 10 million Filipinos have also been fully vaccinated. That's as the government continues to ramp up inoculations due to the threat posed by the Delta variant. COVID-19 Task Force Deputy Chief Implementer Vince Dizon says they expect the momentum to continue as more vaccine supplies are scheduled to arrive. On Tuesday, 3 million doses of Moderna jabs arrived at the country, donated by the U.S. government.
We are almost at 22 million jabs administered, with first doses of 12 million, and most importantly, fully vaccinated individuals of almost 10 million. Our target now for the month of August is to vaccinate up to 15 million doses. For the month of August. And especially now during ECQ, we're going to ramp up vaccinations, especially in ECQ areas like NCR, Iloilo, Cagayan de Oro, and Hinoog, and also in Region 3 and Region 4A and Cebu and Davao.
The city of San Juan, just 9% away from fully vaccinating its entire target population. San Juan Mayor Francis Zamora says the city only has close to 8,000 second dose vaccinations left.
We still have a very short list of senior citizens who have not been able to get vaccinated. We are doing now, basically, we are doing mapping operations. Yung hindi pa nakakapunta sa vaccination sites natin, pinupuntahan natin. Ano ang dahilan ba't di sila nakakapunta? They are bedridden. Some are, wow, almost 100 years old. Mm-hmm. And talagang their doctors have advised them not to step out of their homes.
Hawaii includes the Philippines in its safe travels programs. This means travelers from Manila will not be allowed to skip the U.S. state's mandatory 10-day quarantine upon arrival. But they must be able to present a negative RT-PCR test taken at a laboratory accredited with flag carrier Philippine Airlines 72 hours before departure. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issues a new 60-day ban on residential evictions in areas with high levels of COVID-19 infections. The order applies to about 80% of U.S. counties and covers about 90% of America's population. It will be in effect until October 3rd. The previous eviction ban expired on July 31st without action from Congress. U.S. President Joe Biden called on officials to find the authority to extend it without the help of Congress. Millions of Americans remain behind on rent, collectively owing around $20 billion to landlords. New York becomes the first major U.S. city to require proof of vaccination for customers and staff at restaurants, gyms, and other indoor businesses. That's as Mayor Bill de Blasio steps up efforts to encourage inoculations as the Delta variant spreads in America's most populous city. The policy will be enforced beginning September 13.
So today I announce a new approach, which we're calling the Key to NYC Pass, the Key to New York City. This is a miraculous place, literally full of wonders. And if you're vaccinated, all that's going to open up to you. If you're unvaccinated, unfortunately, you will not be able to participate in many things. That's the point we're trying to get across. It's time for people to see vaccination as literally necessary to living a good and full and healthy life.
The number of new COVID-19 cases in Thailand hits a daily record of 20,200. Wednesday's tally brings the overall number of infections in the nation to more than 670,000, with more than 5,500 fatalities. This despite the extension of lockdown measures over the capital, Bangkok, and other provinces. Authorities say the curbs will likely be extended until the end of the month if the situation does not improve. The entire population of China's Wuhan city to be tested for COVID-19 after several cases of the Delta variant were detected there. More in this report.
China's Wuhan city will test all 12 million residents for the coronavirus. That's after the place where it emerged in late 2019 confirmed its first domestic cases of the highly transmissible Delta variant. Wuhan had reported no local coronavirus cases since May 2020, but on Monday, authorities confirmed three new cases of the Delta variant. The vice director of Hubei's Provincial Disease Control Center says these were linked to infections found in Huaiyang City in Jiangsu province. The outbreak in Jiangsu is believed to have begun in the provincial capital of Nanjing, with the Delta variant most likely introduced on a flight from Russia, according to officials. Since then, numerous cities in southern China and a few in the north, including Beijing, have reported infections. But it was not immediately clear if all of these cases were of the Delta variant or if they were all linked to Nanjing, as some authorities have not disclosed conclusive results of their virus tracing efforts. The Delta variant poses new risks for the world's second biggest economy as it spreads from the coast to inland cities. Authorities in numerous cities have launched mass testing to identify and isolate carriers.
Australia records one of its youngest COVID-19 deaths amid a brutal Delta variant outbreak there. An Australian man in his 20s died in his home in Sydney. The man, who was unvaccinated, was 13 days into his home isolation period. Authorities said his health had deteriorated rapidly. His companion has been hospitalized with the various make that virus. Officials say the death highlights the importance of getting vaccinated. Sydney has set a target of vaccinating half of its population before the lifting of the lockdown on August 28. The city reported 233 new cases Wednesday. That's up from 199 a day earlier. Going to take a break now. Up ahead, House lawmakers, well, they're seeking to scrutinize the Okta Research Group. We'll tackle that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Known cases of the Delta COVID-19 variant have now been detected in 9 regions in the Philippines. Government vows to implement a stricter lockdown in Metro Manila to counter the latest coronavirus surge. Daily COVID-19 infections in Thailand hit a new record. And some Philippine lawmakers seeking a probe into the Okta Research Group. Back with more news, several Philippine lawmakers seeking a probe into the credentials of the Okta Research Group. Deputy Speakers Bernadette Herrera Ding, Christine Singson Nihan, Sharon Garin, as well as Deputy Minority Leader Stella Kimbo and Quezon City Representative Jesus Bongsuntay filed that resolution. The lawmakers want to determine the qualifications, research methodologies, partnerships, and composition of the group. Okta Research is an independent group that regularly publishes its projections about the COVID-19 situation here in the country. But some of the reports have been flagged by the health department. And we'll now be speaking to Quezon City Representative Jesus Bongsuntay. Of course, we're going to talk about that resolution that they have filed calling for a probe into the Okta Research Group. Congressman Suntay, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me to your show. I'm glad to be here.
I want to start off with the genesis of that curiosity as to why you want to look into the Okta Research Group. What's the reason behind that, Congressman?
Well, for several months now, Okta has been publishing their findings, and based on those findings, of course, we get reactions from the people who are already currently scared. Government action, it seems, are also based on findings and reactions being. Which come about. The only thing that we want is, of course, to determine the methodology being used. Because, for example, the DOH also comes up with its own findings. In fact, experts on infectious disease, like Dr. Salvania, has also started to question the methodology and data gathering being used. So on our part in Congress, because as I mentioned, there is an immediate reaction, especially in our district. Now we're concerned. We want to see accuracy and coordination between statements of different agencies of government and NGOs, which are trying to help spread information. So, that is the only thing that we want to achieve, a clear understanding.
Yeah, because Congressman, the Okta Research Group has mostly hit its marks in its projections. If you're going to look into the information that's being distributed, shouldn't you also be looking into what the DOH has provided the public?
That's precisely my point. That's why in the hearing, we will not only invite Okta Research, but also the DOH, so that they could compare notes and compare the methodology that both are using, so that there would be no conflicting statements, which confuses the people.
Mm. Is there really conflicting statements, or is the methodology that's being used by the DOH the one that is not aligned with what the rest of the world is using? For example, the Okta Research Group said, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, they already warned that we will be in the middle of a surge. Obviously, the DOH not liking that statement. Last week, the DOH said that we are at moderate risk pertaining to the NCR. They said that even when there was already evidence of the infection rate rising in several cities. Then, of course, they said that because they based it on the healthcare utilization rate, which is why I was talking to Mayor Toby Tiangco a couple of weeks back, or was it last week? He said there seems to be, you know, a disconnect. What parameters will we use? Is it going to be the infection rate, or is it going to be the hospital utilization rate? But here's the thing, we're now at high risk, and that's according to the DOH. Doesn't that now just confirm what the Okta Research Group had warned a couple of weeks back, Congressman?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, and I agree with Mayor Tiangco, that there should be coordination with the different informations and the different bases being used. If you look historically on infection rates, now that they're saying that there is a surge, but in previous months, there are months before which registered also higher infection rate, but they were not saying that there was a surge. So we have to go back to historical data. As I mentioned, the only thing we want to do is coordination with the different agency. Now let's look if the data being used and the methodology of Okta is the one accurate, then we want the DOH to also use it as its basis.
Mm.
Because we're giving different messages to the people. The people are already scared. We don't have to scare them more. We don't have to confuse them more so that they could be amply prepared. Like, for example, because of the announced lockdown now, we are seeing panic buying in groceries. Now, is it necessary to do that? Because I believe it's not, because even during the 2 week lockdown period, groceries are essential. They won't be closed.
Mm-mm. But Congressman, the announcement of the lockdown, that didn't come from the Okta Research Group. That came from the palace.
Yeah, that's what I'm also saying. That's what I said. We also see a pattern that now, based on a pronouncement of Okta, of the Okta Research Group, there is reaction from the people. And now the announcement of the palace actually came from the agreements by the mayors in Metro Manila to follow the announcement of Okta, because there were already reactions coming from their own constituency. There was already
scare. Was it really reaction? Because I mean, there's two things. There's the reaction, and there's also the reality on the ground. Because when you talk to the local chief executives who are consulting with the Okta Research Group, they see it. They see the data that the group has provided them, and see the data that they see on the ground. So then how do you then reconcile your misgivings with the trust that the mayors have on the group?
You know, we're not saying that we don't trust the Okta Research Group. As I mentioned before, the only thing we want is clarity and uniformity on the methodology being used.
Yeah, Congressman, if you were to be followed, though, what should be followed?
Is it the infection rate as a barometer, or is it the healthcare utilization rate?
I'm not a doctor nor an expert in infectious disease. That's why, on my part, you know, it's almost been close to 2 years that we've been trying to battle this pandemic, and I believe that, you know, it's given that period of time. By now, there should have been consistency on actions, both by government and the private sector, and the methodology being used and the information being handed out to the people. Don't you think so?
Well, you know, that's exactly what people are saying right now. But there's also this question, Congressman Suntay, should you be devoting your time on this, or should you be devoting your time on something else? For example, our takeaway from what Vice President Lenny Robredo just said, that this may not be the last surge. And if it's not, shouldn't you be preparing and not just be reacting to when that next surge comes? For example, when we talk about people that's going to be laid off, either permanently or temporarily because of the lockdown, shouldn't you guys be thinking of ways to sort of cushion the impact of unemployment for these workers? Like maybe have institutionalized unemployment benefits for these workers, Congressman?
You know, actually, we have. It doesn't mean that by filing this resolution, we have been remiss in our duties. In fact, most of the laws which were certified by the president as urgent, Congress has already passed. Even in fact, we were prepared for Bayanihan 3, which was passed by Congress in order to be able to sustain government efforts in trying to help our constituency or the Filipino people. We passed it. It's just but it's pending in the Senate. So it doesn't mean that we're not doing anything.
Let's go back to this inquiry into the Okta Research Group. What else do you want to come out of that inquiry, aside from an aligned database? What else?
Well, for me, that's it. And of course, we also want clarity between the relationship of UP and the Okta Research Group.
Why? Why should
because,
there?
There were publications that saying that the study being conducted by Okta is in partnership with UP, but there has been statements coming from UP that Okta doesn't have an office in UP. So
why is that important?
No, it's not. We just want clarity. Is there really a partnership so that we would understand better? For example, Congresswoman Stella Kimbo, also used to be a professor of UP.
Yeah,
and she also wants clarity because she also doesn't know about that existing partnership. If there
is there something that you find suspicious about the group?
No, nothing. As I mentioned, you know, this is not, you know, I co-authored that resolution not because I want to discredit Okta or I find them suspicious. Like everyone else, I just want clarity and understanding and uniformity in government action and with all the agencies and NGOs which are trying to help. You know, this pandemic, we're in this pandemic together. But I don't think we should pit one side from the other. We have to work together, whether you're in government or you're in private sector. We have to put our acts together. Like what I'm saying, if you trust the methodology being used by Okta and you feel it's accurate, then we will convince the Department of Health to use the same methodology so that they can arrive at the same with the same data.
Just to follow up on that, Congressman, do you think that the Department of Health has been sort of close to other ideas that may help them in their pandemic response?
No, I don't think the Department of Health has been close to other ideas. I don't think so. As you mentioned, a few weeks ago, Okta said that there would be a surge. Now the DOH said that, okay, there would be there might be a surge. So,
but they did call. They did call groups, although they did not name Okta. They did call out some groups to be alarmist.
Like, as I mentioned, that's why we want them to be coordinated, especially with the statements that comes out to the public. In this time of pandemic, where everyone is scared, where a lot of people have lost their job, lost their livelihood, we don't need to add to the confusion. What we need is a uniform and united action.
All right. Where do you attribute that confusion coming from, Congressman Suntay? Where is that confusion coming from? Is it just the DOH, or is it the government's entire pandemic response?
Well, the DOH, of course, for this pandemic, it's the national government has designated the DOH to be the department in charge. And they're working with the IATF. So if there is confusion in that, then those are the agencies that have to put their acts together. Now, as I mentioned, if Okta research and the methodology that they're using could help, and if it's the one that's accurate, then we will convince the government agencies use similar data. Because, for example, the statement of, in fact, we included it in the resolution, the statement of Dr. Edsel Salvana. He noted that Okta's modeling for its projection is problematic and based on incomplete and erroneous data, as the latter is calculating COVID-19 reproduction numbers based on cases reported in the last 2 weeks. Now, Dr. Salvana stated further, even a student of clinical epidemiology will tell you that this is not valid because cases that happened within the last 2 weeks are subject to error because some get tested later or earlier. There are backlogs. So if you are making projections based on that data, it will be incomplete. So as I mentioned, I'm not a doctor. I'm also not an expert in infectious disease. And a lot of our of the Filipino people are likewise not expert. So we're all confused.
Okay, hopefully.
We want clarity.
Okay, the clarity, that's, you know, we all want that, as you said. We're going to have to leave it at that. I'd like to thank you, Congressman Bong Suntay, for joining us, Quezon City Representative there at the 4th District. Thanks again. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to get a reaction from Okta Research Group's Professor Ranjit Rai in a moment. He's been listening in on the conversation, and we do want to get their insights, get their side on this. It's Professor Rai, I believe he is. Professor, so what do you make of that? It's not about discrediting. It's not about them finding the group suspicious, but they just want clarity and also an alignment of methodologies. First off, what do you make of this inquiry into the group, Professor?
Well, good afternoon to everyone. And we want to thank Congressman Bong Suntay, our congressman here in the 4th District where the University of the Philippines is located. We want to thank him for his passion to serve and his continuing, attempts at trying to find clarity in this time of crisis. You know, I don't know if Congress is the best forum to clarify methodologies, but, you know, we will take the opportunity to explain our methodologies to Congress in the hope that the members of Congress will be clarified as to how we are looking at things at Okta and the intent to use science for public good.
So okay, couple of things, Professor. Let's try to thresh this out. That you are spreading incomplete information, and that, of course, would impact on your projections, a claim made by Dr. Edsel Salvana. What is your answer to that?
This is our official response, no, in a sense, no. We've been talking about this. First is we did not respond to Dr. Salvanya because he's a fellow colleague in the University of the Philippines. And in the University of the Philippines, we do not debate, no, on Facebook or in public in the manner that he did, because it might exactly redound in confusion. And that is now the basis of a congressional probe now on OCTA, the statements he made. It's unfair to say it's the DOH that has become the basis of the probe or the resolution, well-meaning resolution of Congress. These are based on the statements of Dr. Salvanya, which we disagree with. Mm. And we would love to resolve it. In fact, we were organizing a scientific forum where scientists who are, well-meaning and who agree with the values, ethics, and norms, no, of the scientific community can review, because it's important in our scientific community to review.
Okay.
We want to be proven wrong also if there's something that we can improve. But again, it has to be clear.
Professor. Professor, sorry to cut you there, but I want to take this time now to sort of reintroduce you to the public. Who are you guys? When did you come about? Who's funding you? Are you connected with the University of the Philippines?
Okay, so OCTA Research is composed of 20 fellows, three of which are from the University of Santo Tomas, and the rest are alumni and faculty of the University of the Philippines. We have always put that in a disclaimer in everything that we've written since the start. No? Number two, we are not connected as an organization to the University of the Philippines, but as faculty members, you see, part of our job as faculty members is really to contribute to society through public service. And those who are members of the UP faculty that are part of OCTA have used OCTA as part of their contribution to public service. So this is for free. We don't get any funding to do our national reports, the monitoring reports that people are referring to, and has now caused controversy, okay? OCTA's basic role is to provide data on the state of COVID-19 in the country, and it has always yearned, no, to contribute to improving our collective response against COVID. So this is the basic question that our friends from Congress have to ask. Has OCTA in the last 15 months contributed to our collective effort, no, as a nation to respond to COVID-19? And I guess that is the question now. The role, you know, this is not, you know, Carmina, this is not anymore about OCTA. This is a bigger issue about science and its role in society. This
But the inquiry is not about in general, right? The inquiry
is about
the OCTA research group and its methodologies and the concern that you're spreading information that is incomplete. We know that a couple of weeks back, when you were warning that we were in the middle of a surge, or we were on our way to a surge, we know that the DOH said or warned people about certain alarmist groups. Of course, they did not mention the OCTA research group. Did you feel that the DOH was, you know, alluding to the group as being alarmist? And how are you not alarmist?
I don't think we were alarmist. I don't think we have been alarmist. What we have been doing is provide analysis of DOH data to inform the public and government. And I think our data and the results of our analysis speak for itself as far as the surges that have hit the National Capital Region is concerned. So we are happy to present to Congress. That's what I want to say, Carmina. You know, if it will mean clarity and it will inform our congressmen of the intent, okay, of our public service initiative, then it's okay. We will take the opportunity to explain our methodologies there, and of course the results of our analysis over the past year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Bongsantay there mentioning as well about clarity, that at the end of the day is what they're after, to avoid the confusion that we're currently experiencing. How have you not contributed to this confusion?
Yeah, we're baffled ourselves. I know. We do this on a weekly basis. Okay, we submit a monitoring report. We put our names there and our reputations on the line. Okay, we disclaim our relationship with our institutions. Okay, it's there and it's accessible for everyone. And you know, as an independent scientific group, trying to promote not just science but also contribute to the collective effort to improve our response against COVID. Okay, we have been very accountable. We have been out there. Okay, and the intent is, you know, very clear. It has been very clear, except for this particular juncture, where our efforts were validated and supported by members of the business groups, our mayors, and eventually our government. I mean, this is, you know, we do not know where all this is coming from, really. And we believe Congressman Bongsong Tay, there's no concerted demolition job to quiet Okta research. There's none. We believe that, and we take it at face value what he's saying, no? That there's an intent, really. The intent is really to extol science, to extol its importance, okay, in a time of crisis, okay? We would love to further elucidate how we look at things and the track record of Okta, but we would like also Congress to take the opportunity, that opportunity when it comes, to urge Congress, no? We need to come together. This is a time of crisis for our country. We need to focus, no, our efforts, no, on helping our people understand what's happening over the next few weeks and to assure them that we're all in the same boat together, that we're all unified. And I think that's where we're coming from, yeah.
And so, Professor Rai, if you were to extol science, what parameters should be used to just do away with this confusion? Is it the infection rate? Is it the healthcare utilization rate?
In my sense, it's both. You have to use both. You know, in when you look at a complex problem like COVID-19, we shouldn't be close, no, to looking at different parameters when we try to improve our analysis.
So, for example,
the perspective of DOH is respected in Okta. We provide data analytics as a viewpoint, as a suggestion, as a contribution. Now, we don't force government to use it. We give it out in the public so the public may know. And so far, what we have said, it has come about, no? And it's not about Okta being right, okay? It's about doing the right thing as scientists, as independent scientists, citizens of our country, who in a democracy are supposed to be not just entitled to freedom of speech, but must exercise it with responsibility and with the public good in mind. And so this is what we're doing now in Okta. Now, if there is a confusion about its role, if there's a confusion about its intent, we're clarifying. We're here to serve the public. And mm-hmm. that has been our own intent since the time we started. And our data is there for us, for everyone to review. We need to be able to review data. And that is the norm and value in the scientific community.
Professor Ranjit, I do want the public to also understand when you said, to your mind, it has to be both. It has to be the infection rate. It has to be the hospital utilization, healthcare use utilization rate as well. So, for example, when we saw the numbers a couple of weeks back and when you had said that we might just be on our way to a surge, what made you say that? What did you look at? And eventually, what was your, how did you arrive at that conclusion, which basically led us to what we're experiencing now and about to experience when the lockdown begins? I mean, that's, those decisions stemmed from that, from the reality of the surge that that is happening. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So let me reaffirm, no, and discuss our basic argument that we raised in a meeting where the DOH secretary was there, very good DOH secretary, and the members of the business community. Hmm. We saw a surge in cases, Okay. And we saw a rapid rise in the acceleration in the R, the reproduction number.
Uh-uh.
What we stated very clearly, and it's written down in media also, is that we are in the early stages of a surge.
Mm-hmm.
Our own suggestion that became controversial was that we suggested, given the possibility that this may be driven by a more contagious variant like Delta, and learning from the lessons of our neighbors, no, and the challenges we had last March, that we should adopt a go early, go hard strategy. And that was the only thing we said. We felt that given the threat, no, of Delta, the possibility of it driving this surge in the NCR, okay, that if we go early, go hard, we will save lives, we will reduce transmissions, because we will reduce transmission and we will reduce mortality. And that the business community will not suffer as much, our citizens will not suffer that much in terms of livelihoods, because we will be locking down, okay, for a shorter period of time. That is all we said.
Mm.
And the rest was the initiative of the mayors and the business community.
Mm.
We were never part of the decision-making.
Mm.
To be completely transparent about it, okay, it was the DOH that decided, presented the models during their IATF meeting. And in fact, today we were part of a town hall. They presented the same data, and it was that data that convinced the government, okay, to act. And it has been put to the public already. If we don't do anything, as Okta asserted, the cases will rise, and the rise will be astronomical.
Mm.
The rise will be catastrophic if we don't do anything. And that's all we said. That, you know, basically it validates our basic position.
Yeah.
And again, in solidarity, Carmina, in the scientific community, we're not asking for unanimity the way Congressman Suntay. There is a rivalry of ideas, a contestation of methodologies and theories. And we let that freedom, because we live in an academic community and we abide by the norms of the scientific community, which is skepticism, but also democracy. Okay, we let hundreds of ideas flow, no, and be articulated, and that the idea that is validated by the community is what the community reviews and establishes as the scientific norm or the scientific fact. Okay.
Yeah, of course, Professor, and we're running out of time, so we kind of have to make this brief. Of course, in the middle of it all is the public, right? And that is the concern, that all this data is just confusing the public. But to your mind, how do you solve this confusion? Where did this confusion emanate from? And how do you eradicate it?
You know, my sense is that there's no confusion. This is a confusion by some individuals, or, created by some individuals. I think the public is very clear. The business community is very clear. Our local government officials are clear. There is a clear and present danger of this surge, possibly driven by Delta. And I think the public should just reflect. No, independent science has to flourish. Science cannot be, quieted down. No, and it's important for scientists to, in this country, be able to express what they believe, and that it based on scientific data, based on proper methodologies that are open to be reviewed, okay, and proven wrong. The important thing is Okta has tried its very best now to promote science for the public good the past 16 months. This is a volunteer organization. We've been under so much stress because of our advocacy, no, for science as far as the pandemic is concerned. We want the public to always be critical of Okta and to review its contribution. Did Okta's contribution, or for that matter, the greater issue of independent science, improve our response, okay, as a nation to COVID-19? And that's the big question we want to raise. That mm-hmm. has been our contribution. And this is bigger than Okta now. This is the bigger question of independent science.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have independent science in this country contribute to our common challenge, which is COVID-19.
And Professor, to the people who continue to doubt the Okta research group and ask this question, what's in it for you? You keep on doing this. This is your advocacy, you say, but what's in it for you guys?
this is the life of our nation. You know, we're big believers that as citizens we need to contribute, and as UP faculty members, we need to contribute to the public good. We need to be part of this, and we cannot just leave it to epidemiologists. The social scientists has to contribute, okay? Because COVID is an interdisciplinary challenge. It's both a biological, a social, okay, an economic challenge to all of us, and we all need to put our focus on the challenge at hand, which is COVID. The enemy is not Okta, it's COVID. The enemy is Delta, not Okta. So I mean, you know, this is I'm a bit dramatic here, no, but you know, this past few weeks, people have been telling us you're going to experience a demolition job from interest groups and all of that. You know, Okta is here to stay, and now more than ever, we reaffirm, no, our commitment to serve our country.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Professor Ranjit Rai of the Ottawa Research Group, thanks again for joining us today. Continue to take care, and you keep safe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.